Hi, I'm Lucas James.
And I'm Jordan Ross.
And I'm AJ Quesada.
And we're the co-hosts of How to Scale an Agency. After scaling our own agencies to over $185,000 per month in sales and working with agencies doing hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue like Hawk Media and Neil Patel, we've made this show to interview the top digital marketing agency owners and highlight the fastest ways to scale your agency.
If you would like to join a community of like-minded agency owners and scale your business while doing so, go to 8figureagency.co/call to explore options on how we can help you scale your agency.
What is good, agency owners? Have a really cool conversation today. Thank you for joining us. Before I introduce today's guest, I had a really cool conversation with this guy a week ago. I'm seeking out some consultants for the business right now, and I just through the serendipities of life met Terry. Terry is the managing director of My Good People Digital. He's a journalist for Entrepreneur Magazine, and this guy's just like, you know, you meet some people who stand out. And for me, I'm like an energy guy. Like I felt like this person has really good energy. I was like, dude, you are really freaking cool. I would love for you to come on the pod. I feel like you got good stuff to share. So Terry, welcome on, man. Thank you for coming in. For everyone that doesn't know you or My Good People, what's the quick overview so we could dive into the convo?
Yeah, I mean, after that intro, I'm going to make a request of your audience to lower their expectations by about 40 to 50%. And if you do that, you will not get disappointed. But thank you for that.
Well, hey, that's what I'm talking. It's good vibes. Like you just seem like a really good dude. Like you seem like, I feel like I could drop my 2B son. My son's going to be born soon. I could drop him off at your house and I would feel, you just come off as a really trustworthy person. Like raise those standards again, people. This guy's a good human. So,
I mean, I have four kids already, so one more is not going to hurt. But yeah, so what do I do? So I am the managing director of growth and partnerships at Good People Digital, which is an agency that serves the creator economy. So giving you the assets and strategy needed to monetize your talent. And I'm also a journalist at Entrepreneur Magazine, which is pretty cool because I can talk to some really amazing people, including like Shaquille O'Neal, Damon John, like all the things. Learn from them and then pass along best practices I've learned from them to my audience as well. So that's pretty much it.
Awesome. And for those of you who noticed that, you know, his domain is My Good People, but Terry even let me know it's Good People Digital and I still botched it. So just humans being human over here. So our conversation started because I was looking for, and I am looking for support on copywriting. I found someone, by the way, it ended up working out. But I was pointing in your direction because you, by your peers, are perceived as an exceptional writer. I want to talk about Shaq and Damon John because that's cool too. But I find that a lot of entrepreneurs who are not copywriters, right? A lot of people have different skills. Copy is something that most people actually don't consider like a super duper important skill. But if you're really, if you know your stuff, you know copy is really important. What's your take on effective writing and its impact on business, just as an initial conversation question?
It depends on the goal. And every marketer says that. It depends, right? But it really does. I mean, if your goal is to write engaging ad copy, the approach is totally different than it would be from like a blog, right? In ad copy, it's like, okay, what's the emotional appeal? How do I get them to stop scrolling and pay attention? So on and so forth. But to be honest, I don't think that skill is as necessary as it used to be because ChatGPT is catching up so much with best practices, right? So if you're not good at that type of writing, don't worry about it. Just get the baseline down and let ChatGPT do the rest. It's like, you know, when you're typing in your computer, it's like, okay, that ain't how you spell it, but it's like, you're like, spell check will figure it out. Same thing. So, I mean, years ago, I worked at Adobe. It's like 15 years ago at this point. And I was doing paid ads for companies like Delta, FedEx, like Disney, all the things. I had to be a good direct response copywriter. Nowadays, I'm dating myself. Like, you don't really have to do that as much. It's important, but it's not a skill you need. It's just like the intellectual curiosity to say, what does my audience need to hear for them to click on this ad? And what I think is also happening is some of that direct response copywriting, people are just getting sick of it. Like, you know, it's so in your face, like, do you feel like this? Are you frustrated? So on and so forth. I was too, and I'm going to make you better. It's like, click here, right? It's like people are kind of onto that stuff. So I wouldn't bother developing that skill too much. No offense to anyone listening who's like, hey, man, that's my job. Like, hey, I'm sure you're good at it. You know, like, I'm not taking it away from you. But if you're struggling to find those resources, I would not spend too much time there. What I think is more important is building your personal brand through your content, because that's how you get paid for who you are, not just what you do. Unfortunately, all you have to do is write about your observations and your experiences. And that alone will be enough to create good content. So, hey, last weekend I had this client who was a pain in the ass, and I found out it's because they're having some trouble at home. I'm so glad I was empathetic the way I talked to them instead of just calling them a pain in the ass all day. Right? Stories like that are what stand out more than, I'm so smart. Here's this new algorithm update. Everyone doesn't know this except for me. It's like, dude, everyone knows it. That's not special, but building that personal brand through your content is super important. And again, just sharing observations and experiences is a great way to do so.
Let's dive into that, because that's actually in my world of copywriting and trying to get better at, you know, writing in general. One of the things my favorite newsletter writers does is stories. And I tell stories, they're okay, you know, that hence why I was seeking out your advice. It's interesting. I think some people tell me a lot, like, I really enjoy reading your stuff. I think people enjoy reading my stuff because, like, the grammar is so atrocious sometimes. That's like, oh, this is like clearly written by this guy, like, so I could follow it. When it comes to personal brand storytelling, do you have, like, I'm assuming there are a few frameworks that you use when it comes to setting up the story. Do you have a few frameworks that you use when it's either writing for yourself or someone else that someone who might be thinking about including more stories, let's say for the person writing like me, are there like different frameworks you would encourage to consider when it comes to writing a story for content?
I would. I'm going to preface that with something else. You have to get clear about how you want to be perceived in general. How do you want to establish a personal brand? And for me, it's someone who's an expert at biz dev, as someone who's a caring father, someone who cares about his physical health, and someone that
He's
cares
ripped,
about mental
guys.
Health.
Just letting you know, you can't see it.
Find me on Instagram. It's Terry Rice. But no,
find me on Instagram. The guy, 4 kids and still shredded. Check him out.
But even that's important because there are so many people who say, I'm great at this, I'm great at that. If I say I work out, you can look at me and be like, no, that dude's legit, right? So it's like proof of concept in this case. But back to your original question, it's like, how do you want to be perceived? First, get clear on that. And then you will find stories around you that help you tell, that help you express that. So for example, the other day I was at the gym, of course, you know, telling a story about how am I able to work out at 9 a.m.? Well, it's because I woke up at 4:30 a.m. to get some work done, and I realized I do my best creative or critical thinking at 4:30 in the morning. Therefore, that's when I get it done. Then I move forward and go ahead and get my kids out the door. Then I can go to the gym without feeling guilty. So if you want to feel like you want to have a more complete life, you know, here's my process. You know, what is yours? So like just realizing there are stories unfolding around you all the time. And if you want an actual framework, one that I like a lot is situation, complication, question, answer. So I'll give you an example here. Situation is you're a busy entrepreneur, but you want to work out. The complication is, gosh, there are just not enough hours in the day to make it happen. Like, how can you be a high performer at work and at home and in the gym? So the question is, you know, what's the pathway? How can you do that? And my answer is, well, you have to figure out what you want to do, become, experience, learn, and sacrifice in order to achieve that goal. And sometimes it's sacrificing when you're doing work, or how often you can work out, or the intensity. Because for me, I'm doing CrossFit, so I'm going hard, right? So again, you say situation, complication, question, answer, but you spend the majority of time giving the answer. And at the same time, I live here in New York City, so I just pretend like everyone's this busy New Yorker who does not give a damn about what I have to say until I give them a reason to. So I never assume I've earned my audience's attention, that I actually have to proactively earn it every single time. And that's going to be an engaging hook, a good story, a good lead-in, a stat, some kind of pattern-interrupting thought. But I think where a lot of content creators fall short is they assume everyone cares. They don't until you give them a reason to.
Yeah, you need to give them a hook. So let's talk about giving them a reason. I find that every time I sit down with an expert copywriter, like, they're always telling me I could do better on my hooks. And like, I think if you look at the best copywriters, I think maybe it was Russell, it's like 80% of your time should be about the hook, because if they don't read it, who cares? When I think about writing a hook to give someone a reason to care, I feel like there's a lot of different techniques, right? Do you have a few that you lean on for a hook, that this is the tactic or the strategy or the process that this grabs attention, and here's the kind of perceived reason why this would grab attention? To maybe, if you've written anything in the last week that comes to mind as a hook and why it might be an effective hook. I find that every time I sit down with someone, it's just always you need to improve your hook. And I'm like, I've gotten coached on this like so many times, but like there's always room for improvement. So that's just top of mind for me personally.
Well, are they giving you feedback of the rest of the content too? Because like that's lazy feedback.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no. So like when I bring, like, I'll give you a good example. So I had someone on my podcast, Max, 2 weeks ago when we went through my newsletter, and he talked to me about the subject line. He's like, and the example was, it's like how to do XYZ better. And the feedback he gave me on the subject line was, you want to give like three ways to do XYZ better, because it's like three. And then we actually went through the full body. But, you know, I keep getting feedback on the hook and I know the importance of it. So that was the context of why I kind of asked. Do you have any types of frameworks that you use for writing hooks that might be fruitful for people listening?
Yeah, and I don't have them documented, so I'll say it out loud. But first of all, I spend more time writing the actual meat of the post than the hook, because the hook should be a byproduct of the meat, if that's the right way to say it, without sounding too clinical. But I'm looking for a patterned interrupting thought. And that can be a stat, it can be a quote, it can be a shocking revelation. So I'll give you an example. Last week, and I keep on talking about fitness, not by design, but last week my post started off with, hey, I'm a hypocrite and here's why. And then I said, look, you know, I'm dedicated to fitness. I go 5 days a week, that's my thing, but I didn't go today because I had to do this thing for work, you know, this product or whatever. And I was saying, like, you know, I was kicking myself, but really it's like my commitment that really matters. You can miss once or twice and it's okay. But if you build that pattern of resilience, then you know how to get back on the horse once you fall off. So that was the moral of the story, but me saying, I'm a hypocrite, here's why. People are like, ooh, this is about to get juicy. Spilling some tea over here, right?
One of the hardest things as an agency owner is building a team that can actually execute without needing you, can deliver results that you could trust to learn things fast and deliver every single time. The reality, though, most of us can't afford top-tier talent, and even those of us who can afford top-tier talent doesn't know how to get the best talent to work for us. That's why I built the 8-figure funnel. I've been able to hire over 6 8-figure COOs and convince them to come work for me to help my clients grow. Guys that have already been there and done that have run 20, 30, 50, $80 million a year companies working for someone who's not even 30 years old. I've put this all into a simple ebook so you can do exactly the same thing. If you want access to this ebook, go to 8figureagency.co/value and grab one of my best pieces of free content that I've ever released today. Hey there, this is Jordan Ross, your host of How to Scale an Agency, and thank you so much for listening. If this podcast has given you any value, if you listen to it weekly or you're just tuning in on a blue moon, please like and subscribe and give us a good review. Reviews are the easiest way that we can help other agency owners expand their information, their knowledge, and grow their companies, which is why we do this. We do this to help each and every one of you make business growth simpler. So, like I've said, if you've received value, we do not promote our podcasts any other way except through word of mouth. We don't have sponsors because we want to keep this as high level for you as possible. If you could return just a little bit of a thank you back to us, we would so greatly appreciate it. Now, let's get back to the show. And by the way, I'm taking notes on this because like this is just the skill I'm looking to get better at. So stat and revelation were the two big ones. I'm curious for you. You're writing a lot of content for other brands and for your own brand. Algorithms change, but I've noticed like every time I write something personal on LinkedIn, it performs way better than business stuff. Like every time, like, do you have an observation? It could be on any social platform because I know you're on a bunch. Do you have an observation on any social platform that's just top of mind for what's happening now? Like a tip that you've been conscious of that you're more leveraging today that might be beneficial for anyone listening?
Not anything that they couldn't just Google themselves. So I stay out of conversations about algorithms because I don't have any control over it and we're all just guessing and everyone else has the same opinion. So what I'll give you some kind of tip though. On my end, like LinkedIn's my primary channel. And just like you, when I share personal content, it gets a lot of views, right? That's great, right? So there you go. There's the hack. But everyone's looking for a freaking hack. It's like just do your work, right? But so what I do sometimes is when I'm done chasing the algorithm, and I'll take a step back. People who see crushing it sometimes with all this reach and engagement, they are broke. They're straight broke, right? So,
oh my God, I see it all the time. People come through. Wow, this guy's got 500,000 followers and he's making 10K a month and he's making 2K profit a month from his 10K. What is going on?
He's spending too much time writing shit. That's why. Like seriously, go to work, bro. So what I'll say is this. When I realized that, I was like, you know what? Instead of trying to get a lot of reach, I want to build a lot of credibility. And by that, I'm talking about sharing my experiences, my observations. So maybe it's accolades. Hey, I'm speaking on stage at Berkshire Hathaway this week, so on and so forth, right? That way, when I reach out to Jordan and say, hey, Jordan, you know, I'd like to be on your podcast, or Jordan, do you have a referral program for your agency? Or Jordan, I'd like to do this with you. You will look at me and be like, okay, that dude's credible. You're not going to say, okay, that guy's last post got like 500 likes, because that ain't happening. But my goal is to be so credible, I can reach out to whoever the hell I want, and they're more likely to respond, as opposed to hoping it's so much reach that someone I want to get in touch with sees that content and will reach out to me. So I just give up on the algorithm thing. Like, hey, I got like, I don't know, like 20,000 followers on LinkedIn. Sweet, cool, whatever. I just want my credibility there so I can proactively reach out to people, not hope they see my content.
Cool. Let's take that and talk evergreen, right? When it comes to evergreen, I know, like, I was seeing something from an entrepreneur recently. It was like, you want to have a distribution of content. You don't just want it to all be personal. You don't just want all to be like listicles that are like value add. You kind of want to blend different things. I'm curious for you, instead of making about the audience, like, I'm curious for you, what do you like to blend in your content? I heard fitness, and sorry, my wife's texting me. By the way, we will be able to go full podcast because my contractor that we don't like, well, he's not showing up on time. Shocker of the century. That's why we don't like this guy.
I was going to say, why do you not like this person?
He lies and ghosts us all the time. It's really bad. It's not cool. So we're going to get a new one. But for you, do you have a blend of different things you like to include about yourself? I heard fatherhood. I heard gym. I heard obviously building a brand. I like to talk about meditation. I like to talk about like time off. Like, are there personal things you like to talk about? Is it more intuitive and emotional and just like, based on what I'm feeling today, I'm going to talk about my family because I had a story and I had a moment that I want to share? Or is it more calculated where it's like, okay, I can't only talk about family. I need to talk about brand and value because it has to be a little bit more evenly distributed. How do you like consider those things?
Yeah, so I mean, you're spot on with the themes though. I mean, the only one I would add to like family, fitness, entrepreneurship is resilience and having a high performance mindset, things like that, because that's something that you can, there's always stories you're walking by in regards to that. In regards to the content distribution, it's funny. I mean, if you look at my content, I'm normally not asking for anything. I'm not saying sign up for this, DM me, so on and so forth. And I started doing that around like, I don't know, maybe like 5 months ago. And since then, my inquiries from brands, so I have brand sponsors that pay me a decent amount of money, as well as individuals, has increased because my goal is to show that I'm the personified version of who my audience wants to be with my content. And as a result of that, I'm attracting people who are like, hey, like, wait a second, like the guy has how many freaking kids? How's he doing all this stuff? How's he, you know, speaking on stage at South by Southwest one day and the next day he's like, you know, begging a toddler to get up a swing. Like how's this dude like live that life? And as a result, I'm attracting people to me. And then I also have to be into the content. So this is not a best practice that I would recommend for anyone, but often my content is written the night or the day of, the night before or the day of, because I actually want to engage with the comments. But if it's something I wrote 3 months ago, just to like kind of check a box, I'm like, bro, I don't even feel like talking about this today. So I'd be less inclined to do so. And what I do to protect myself is I do have a content idea bank. So I have like a list of like just short ideas. Maybe it's like one sentence, right about the time Tyson's tooth fell out, right about the time you missed your flight, like whatever it is. And I can just look at that list in the morning or at night and say, okay, cool, I'm going to expand on that one. So I have a lot of ideas saved up. I just don't necessarily schedule them because I want to be involved with the conversation and not feel like I'm just checking a box.
Yeah. Is there an app or like somewhere that you schedule them, or is it just like you have a Google Doc?
Yeah, I have a Google Doc and I have an assistant. So like she does all the scheduling when it's time to do that stuff. And I think she uses Publer, I believe, for that. But for any, you know, agency founders out there, the less like the clinical / admin work you can do in regards to this, the better, because you don't want this to become an interruption to your life. It should be an integration. And it will be an interruption if you're like, oh shoot, too many characters. Oh shoot, like what time should I schedule this for? Like do something else, like something productive. and hand that off to somebody else if you can.
Where's your assistant based? Because this is something I'm thinking about right now of like, I have three assistants and admins that we leverage for the business. We have more than that, but like specifically for content, two are based in Africa, one's based in Belize. And I'm wondering for, you know, the one that's more hands-on with the content, maybe, I don't know if he has the capacity anymore for what I need support with from social. Like, where have you found success with geographically where the assistant is to support on these things or like what this person does?
Yeah, so my main assistant is based in the US. She's in North Carolina. And luckily, she's not in Brooklyn because it would be much more expensive cost of living.
Oh, yeah.
So I think for anyone who does want someone in the US for continuity, for like, you know, time zone purposes, look for people who live in cheaper areas. Like, don't look in New York City. Don't look in Miami. Like, look at, you know, somewhere else. I don't want to insult anyone who lives somewhere I might name. But like, if you want that,
Midwest is always a good place too. Midwest and non-income states or non-taxable income states that I find are better places.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I have her in North Carolina, but she manages the rest of my remote team. So I have people in Canada. I have people in the Philippines. I think two in the Philippines. So she's my single point of contact for all these other contractors. And therefore, like, I just ask her to do something and she just activates everyone else, including Fiverr experts. So I think if you can have that almost like director of operations, chief of staff, whatever it is, you'll free up even more time because sure, you might be charging, you know, some you might be paying someone $5 an hour. That's great. But if you're spending so much time managing that person, it's like, bro, like maybe charge a little bit more and you'll get better service. But to answer your question, what does she do? It's like everything. I mean, it's like it's sometimes it's creating my decks for presentations. It's scheduling my social media. It's handling my phone calls. She's also producing both my podcasts and even negotiating the contracts on that. And when we win a contract, because they're all sponsored, I'll give her a percent of the revenue as well to give her more incentive. But even like booking like daycares for my kids, like it's that it's that intense. And it's just like, she's indispensable. So I do appreciate it very much.
Well, shout out to her. It's kind of giving me a gentle reminder to lean in to that because I know I'm finding limitations in my own system where I've had a lot of success not having like a chief of staff or an EA in the United States. But recently I'm like, all right, it's definitely time to move over to someone like that. So awesome, man. I want to kind of go for closing thoughts. What's something that you're either proud or passionate about right now that we haven't addressed on the podcast yet? Proud or passionate?
What I'm passionate about is living my legacy. That's actually my personal philosophy, is live your legacy. Reason being, a lot of people think about like, hey, how will I be thought of, you know, once I'm gone? You know, how are people will remember me? And I want to be thought of as a good dad, a caring husband, a good community member, so on and so forth. So my thought is, okay, just live that way now. Like, if that's how you want to be remembered, just do that now. And the benefit of having a personal philosophy is at any given time, you can just fall back on that saying like, hey, am I living my legacy right now? Am I doing the right thing? Am I taking the right risks to get to who I want to be? Am I being compassionate to my family? So that just centers me and everything goes from there. So, I mean, there's a lot of goals I have. I mean, I have my vision for my life as well, but that personal philosophy just stays with you throughout the day and can always guide you to make the right decision.
I love that. Is there something that you're like hoping for your kids they think of you of when they're adults? Like legacy, and obviously legacy can mean a lot of things. I think about my wife and I were talking this week, legacy with like, how do we want our relationship to be with our kids when they're adults? And we haven't even had our firstborn. So it's something that's present. Is there something legacy with family that's top of mind or something that is a North Star for you?
Yeah, it's that my kids feel like I always have their back. And even my boys, like my son Tyson, my 5-year-old, he's kind of unruly at times. So when I'm putting to bed at night, I'm like, hey, you know, you did some things that upset me today, but I will never give up on you. I'm always going to be here for you. I'll always love you. And because I never want my kids to go to sleep feeling bad about anything, but just ingraining that into his mind, like you always have a supporter, no matter what you're going through, how bad it is, like your dad, your mom, we always have your back. And I think that alone is a goal because I want to give my kids a childhood they don't have to recover from. And I feel like if that's my goal and that's what I'm instilling in them, then I should hit my goal. So I'll let you know. Give me like 13 years. I'll let you know.
All right. Podcast in 2037, Jordan and Terry. Cue it up. Awesome. Well, Terry, thank you so much for anyone that wants to follow you or they're considering they need help with their brand or their business, where could they look up you or your business?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on LinkedIn at Terry Rice, Instagram at It's Terry Rice, and my agency, Good People Digital, is mygoodpeople.com.
And that's why the my before confused me, guys. So give me some grace with being a human over here. Awesome. Terry, I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for coming on, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of How to Scale an Agency. It would mean the world if you could like, subscribe, and comment on this podcast so more people can find it organically, or share it with a friend. If you're looking to scale your agency and you need help, you're looking for a true partner, go to 8figureagency.co/call. My business has been built on becoming fiduciaries for other companies. We are going to be your partner, where I will bring in my 8-figure talent to help you grow working side by side. If you need help with that, go to 8figureagency.co/call or like, share, subscribe to the pod. Thank you so much. I'll catch you on the next episode.